falling to your seat, so you smoothie me ice cold pizza, cafe ole latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon, I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb, cause we both know that his mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your very life flowing through each and every one of our veins. Just thank you this morning. As I say, good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And last, but certainly not least, good morning, Tedline. You know what? I want to share something this morning, briefly, and I'm sharing this only because I want the devil to know something this morning. I want the devil to know yeah, I do. I think the devil forgets. Well, you know what? He tries to forget deliberately who God is. And then in trying to forget, I guess he does like a lot of people, you know. If I don't talk about it, then I don't have to deal with it. But he tries to forget who God is. You see, because if he can tune that out like a lot of us, if we could tune something out of our own mind that it doesn't exist, that's not so. It still exists. And the mere fact that you're trying to tune it out your own mind, out your own life or whatever, makes you know it exists. But every now and then, we have to let him know something. So I'm going to play this message this morning. And I'm playing this message so that devils and demons in any person on this line can hear this. I got to tell you something. Because you try to act like you don't know it, but the truth is the truth. Here it is.
Big amen, okay? You know, this old ship's
been through some battles before. It's been through storms and tempests and rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, don't worry about it. Inside, it's safe and dry, and my friend, it will carry its cargo to the port in the sky.
God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking that because he had driven the Church of Jesus Christ out of sight, that he had stilled its voice and snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it is forced to flow underground. No, the purest water is a stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has forced its way through solid rock. There have been charlatans who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on the open market that power which cannot be bought or sold. But God has always had a people, men who could not be bought, and women who are beyond purchase. Yes, God has always had a people. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has been nearly diluted into oblivion by those who sought to make it socially attractive, neatly organized, and financially profitable. It's been gold-plated, draped in purple, and encrusted with jewels. It's been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned. These followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to women of time, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet through it all, there marches on this powerful army that meets God's chosen people who cannot be bought, slaughtered, murdered, or killed. On through the ages they march. The church, God's church triumphs.
Be the church
alive.
service for Jesus, your King.
There's power in the blood.
Yes.
Power in the blood.
Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's a wonderful
Whatever that thing is, especially yourself. This morning, see, brothers and sisters, as long as you keep yourself in front of your eyes, you block it out. You block it out everything that God knows you need and is trying to get to you. And those of you on here, you know, that are going to be and are even ministers of freedom, you'll never minister freedom to anybody if you're not free. Because you don't know what freedom looks like. You don't know what freedom smells like. You don't know what freedom tastes like. You don't know what freedom feels like. This morning, I want you to ask God, what part of you is hindering you? And this morning, I want you to prepare to let that go. I didn't forget about the spiritual strongholds. I didn't forget about anything. But brothers and sisters, over here where I am, I'm seeing so many miracles. You see, you only need to see one to know what God is doing in the spirit realm throughout this earth realm. And God is restoring families, whole families, when one person decided to let their self go, to let their self go, meaning they let go of all their own selfishness, selfish ways, self-seeking, self. But it's a decision you got to make. You can bring it under subjection, and then you can let it go. But there are some things, brothers and sisters, that you cannot cast out. There's some things that you got to overthrow, and then you got to let them go.
It's hard for me to let go, hard for me to breathe, thinking that I gotta control it all. I can feel my worry and anxiety when it's slipping through my fingers. Lose my grip, I could see that you are carrying me. Oh, I'm gonna let it, I'm gonna let it go. Oh, 'cause if I trust it, I can move with your flow. Being carried in the current of your love, when I lean into your arms, you're enough. Oh, I'm gonna let it. For me to breathe, knowing that he already holds it all. Time for me to turn down this anxiety. I can know my freedom in a moment. 'Cause when I lay it all down, you're gonna lift me up. When I pour it all out, you're gonna fill my cup. You're holding out your arms and telling me to jump.
go, yeah. Cause I hear you whisper to me. If I lose my grip, I will see. You're always carrying me.
Oh, I'm gonna let it. I'm gonna let it go. Oh, cause if I trust it, I can move with your flow. Being carried in the current of your love. When I lean into your arms, you're enough. So I'm gonna let it. Take you at your word, and I'm gonna lay down all my burden. Letting go of my worries and my need to control things. I'm gonna take you at your word, and I'm gonna lay down all my burden.
I want to talk to you this morning about a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank you, each and every one of you that has given into the transformation of Brother Dalbert Hooker's life. I want to really thank you for that. You'll hear more about it coming up. I've got to get with Juliet again and get things in preparation to get him here. Praise God. But this is what I want to talk to you about. You know, since we've been in this coronavirus and some of you have been in a shut-in and everything, I've had a chance to talk to some headliners. There are a lot of headliners on this line that a lot of you don't know because they don't ever get in the chat room or they be on the blog talk. But there's a headliner that God had given this to, showed all this people and all this in 2018. In 2018, when they told me about the vision that they had, I just said, just wait on God and let's see what God is showing you. I said, I know he's showing you visions of things to come. Now, this person is not a prophet. I mean, you know, this person is not in full-time ministry. They're actually a school teacher, okay? And, you know, their primary concern is for their students. So this person is a school teacher. And then some of you might remember another person is a salesperson who sent me a picture of Leviathan and two other demons on their side. And that Leviathan demon looked just like that pangolin turned on the side. And I'm saying, but this is something most of you don't know because we don't hardly ever talk about it. But some of you know that Jose is a research scientist, and he come out of that world. But some of you don't know why he came out of it and what he suffered. And some of you don't know that we've been researching techno-witchcraft a long time. Since what, 2005, Jose? Since 2009. But I've been researching witchcraft longer than that, since 1993. I've been researching and writing. But is that when I met you in 2009? I met Jose in 2008. And That's when I started learning about, because in order to get Jose free, I had to go through a whole new learning curve, because Jose was an agnostic. You know, he was a scientist and he was an agnostic. And as an agnostic, his belief was, I'm a scientist. It's got to be proven to me. God had to be proven to him. And so Jose was under attack. And I think his story is, his testimony is up here on some of these podcasts somewhere. It's on two or three of them. And in one of them is titled something about the Matrix. And so I have had many, many fights with Jose about God, because he was not playing, and he was serious that God had to be proven to him that he was real. So we have studied, and that's what I do when I take on somebody. And that's why my new philosophy is that if you don't come on the TED line, I'm just not going to minister to you, period, because it'll be too hard to try to have to go back. And plus, I get to know where a person is at. If you really have a problem and you really have a spiritual problem, then you will do whatever is required in terms of studying the Bible and going through these podcasts to help you find a solution to your own problem. So anyway, I'm saying that to say that we have researched so many things, so many, many, many things. And coming out of the research laboratories, I don't know if you know, but at one while, they were killing scientists like flies. I mean, they were just killing off scientists. And we kind of believe that's what would have eventually happened to Jose. But God rescued him. But I'm saying this to say this. This thing, because somebody sent me something to look at. This lady was talking about, she was there, and these indictments and these people that were arrested in Washington with the vials and things. Brothers and sisters, you would be amazed at what the colleges teach and what courses are available to your kids when they go to college. In our research, and I'm in agreement with this lady. I mean, what she says makes sense, but she didn't take it back far enough. You got to go back and you got to read the MK Ultra project. See, this stuff goes back. It goes way back, and it comes up to today. I always looked at it from a spiritual perspective, and that's the way I always will, because I know that that God is alive, and that the church is going to be triumphant either way it goes. But in our research, and because I'm always trying to see what's going to take out and dumb down witchcraft and how does witchcraft work and stuff like that. But when the universities started bringing Tibetan monks and studying them, you kind of need to look at the neuroscience industry. Okay? Neuroscience. And you kind of need to look at, it goes so far back, and it's so, I can't even remember all of our research. But it all comes together. And it is not above anybody's thinking process that witchcraft and science have formed an alliance. Witchcraft and science have formed an alliance. Okay, but that's the truth. And neuroscience, and you know, you need to look for yourself. Is so close to ritualistic witchcraft, it's not even funny. If you go back and look at a lot of these kids that have created these shootings and stuff like that, they were all being treated through neuroscience, counseling, and all this stuff. So, but then nowadays, you have a lot of psychologists, therapists, psychiatrists that, in searching for answers, have dipped into shamanistic ways, shamanism. They teach in the bottom line is, it all boils down to witchcraft. They have colleges where they go and, like I said, I know they brought those monks over from Tibet, and they study what happens when they meditate, and then they send these neuroscientists and therapist to Haiti to find out what kind of plants they use to induce zombie-like trance states, and how do the voodooists, then they got labs up in places like Pennsylvania where they study the old, and that's how I know about so much of this witchcraft, because God will send people here that can't get relief nowhere else. Because we'll study it. We'll take it all the way back to the seed and the root to find out how to destroy the works of the devil. So when I heard this lady say, you know, she said, it ain't no pangolins and all that stuff. It was in the laboratory. But what she's forgetting is, how did the scientists derive their whatever in the laboratory? Because, and I'm not going to get into it, because I try to keep my focus on Jesus. I will keep my focus on Jesus, but ever since. And you know what else had a lot to do with this kind of thing right here? When God had me studying about the parasites and how they had that island over there up in New York, Morgellons, all this stuff is tied in with this one way or another. Morgellons, Lyme disease, all of it. And they did have, and still do, have laboratories over there in China and in Okinawa, the Ryukyu Islands, where they have people still studying people. But I'm going to tell you something. It's intentional. That's all I'm going to say. It's intentional. It's intentional. I remember when I was assigned to that medevac team in Vietnam, they had people with strains of gonorrhea that they could not even bring back to the United States that were classified as MIA. So, again, it's intentional. And I don't know enough about it. I know a lot about what we've studied and what we've discovered. And I know what we've gotten to the point that we just put it down. You know, we just stopped. It just became too. But this is some of the food of some of that stuff. Brothers and sisters, it's kind of like back in the medieval days when you had alchemy and alchemists. It's really real. It's really real. And the sad part is all these poor people that have lost their lives all over the world. And as we were studying it way back then, I mean, even up to today, I think we just, you know, we transitioned so much that we haven't really gotten back to studying it just a little bit. Keep your prayer life where it should be. Because even, I'm going to say it again, those scientists went back and looked up old tribal stuff. Especially that one of the what they sent to Haiti, and the one they sent lots of them to Africa, and lots of them. Well, the Chinese wouldn't let you in too much, but I don't know about it. But I do know that it's real, and I know that it's been going on for a long time, and I know that it's intentional. But you know what my focus is on? My focus is on the transformation I'm seeing in lives. But I want you to know this. When I ask people who have had dreams and things, if you are gifted and if you take some time during this time, you see, the big, big, big difference between a spirit-filled person operating in the gifts and a psychic. Because I believe that most psychics are people that were born with gifts, and then you have a choice. You can use them for God, or you can use them for the dark side. Is that, and I believe that there are a lot of prophets out here, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And I believe that God has shown many of you many things. But because of your not being deliberate, let's just put it like that. Because of you not operating and moving in the power, and because of fear, You kept it to yourself. And some of you ought to know that because you didn't step up to the plate, because you had fear of man, it could have probably been, I won't say, let's just say that you could stop it. from being as any worse. Let's do one down. You can stop it. If you believe in who God has made you to be, if you believe in God, not you, because God has many gifts. I'm telling you, he said he won't even do anything except he reveal it through his prophet. I believe that many of you have had dreams, you've had visions. I believe that God has shown you things. I believe that God has told you things. And because of your lack of confidence in God, and because of the devil, what the devil have to do with it? This. He'll shut you down. Just like right here. Just like we encounter it right now. The devil will box you in. Because he knows that the church got the answer. And I'm really proud of the governor of Texas today. The governor of Texas made a ruling that no church in the state of Texas can be shut down and closed up and stopped from having a meeting. I didn't really get his name, but I am proud of him. Those of you that live in the state of Texas, you ought to send your governor just a thank you and let him know you're with him. He said, from now on, in the state, because the president has given the governor's rule over their state. And he said, in the state of Texas, follow God. If God is telling you to hold a meeting, hold it. I had mixed feelings about that at first. But you know what? I realized something. We started studying about this from the day I met Jose back there in 2008 or whatever it was. Because we had to find out why he was being targeted and tormented by Satanists and witches the way he was. See, familiar spirits can pass knowledge. Oh, Governor Rick Perry. Okay, thank you, Brother Smith. Brother Robert say, us who aren't even in Texas, salute your governor. May it spill out into our state too. Well, Brother Rodney went to jail for it. And he said, we got the answer for coronavirus. They thought he was crazy. But we do. Oh, Governor Greg Abbott, governor of Texas. Greg Abbott is his name. The governor of Texas is Greg Abbott. We got to stand up. You got to stand up. You got to lay yourself down so that God can use you. You got to lay yourself down so that your, I think Jesus said better than me. Can you find this scripture for me? Whosoever cometh after me must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me daily. Can you find that scripture for me? I am seeing some marvelous family restoration. It is wonderful. to see God move. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You're going to have to lay yourself down. But we've been working on that, I know. And I just made a decision. If I'm not worthy enough for you to come on my tail line and get yourself prepared for deliverance, then you're not worthy enough for me to take God's time, because you're not trying to help yourself. You're trying to get somebody to work for you. And that's the problem. This is not the real deliverance. Real deliverance now cannot be done for anybody, for anybody. You can work with somebody. You can work with somebody and you can help them. Did I lose something here? Did I lose somebody? I know I'm capable this morning. I'm on weak turf. Did I lose anybody this morning? Do I still have sound on the blog talk? Can you let me know? Can you text me somebody and let me know I still have sound on the blog talk? So I don't have sound on the blog talk? What about the Spreaker? Okay. Great. Thank you. Look, brothers and sisters, let me tell you what just happened. There's a lot of people on this tail line you don't know. It's about 20-something thousand that weekly. It's weekly, it's about 32,000 listeners between Blog Talk, Spreaker, iHeart, and my website, and Roku TV. I'm just not doing the visual until everything is ready here in the church, and it's almost ready. It's almost ready. I thank God every day, and I pray for me, I pray for Brother Joe, and I pray for Jose, because what God is allowing three people to do is a miracle. It's only three of us. Ain't nobody volunteered to come help. Ain't nobody showed up to help. So every day, Brother Joe, Jose, and myself. And I have to put myself last because I'm trying to write. I have a professional writer in the background. You don't know her. You might know her. I don't know. But she is rewriting all my books and editing all my books. And she says that's a tough thing, a tough job, because I write like I talk. We run on sentences and in the middle of the thing, I'll be going off somewhere else. But she's rewriting my books. Now, let me tell you what else that you don't know about this. I have a resource. And I know I can't give her name or anything like that because she's a very private person. But I have a world famous fine artist. I work in museums and I mean, she doesn't like to be put on the spot, and I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you what she did. When we were on the 40-day fast, She made me 50 crosses. You know, when I sent out the first handheld crosses, the Lord inspired her and her team, the people that work in her studio. And they made me, I think it's 53 total crosses. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Erica, well, I'm going to do something, because she does not want. I wanted her to do a show, but she doesn't want to do that. But I'm going to, these crosses, they are so beautiful. I've been looking at them for a couple of days. She did sign them with her initials, and she put Jesus loves you. No, she put, in Jesus' name, I love you. And she just put her initials on the back of them. Well, I talked to this gallery down in Atlanta, but because she doesn't want to show her anything, it wasn't for them anyway to do. But they asked me, they called me back yesterday, and they asked me if I could let them have one of the crosses because they're Christians. And I said, no. I said, I asked you to do a show for me, to do a show, and let's have a show in your gallery. They got about three galleries. So at first they said no, but then I sent them some pictures of the crosses, and now they want one. So I said, I don't trust you. I don't know what you'll do with one. And God told me, if people don't earn my trust, don't trust them anymore. He did tell me that. You know, he said, unearned trust. So I said, I tell you what, why don't you go look at her work in the gallery that is in, and then you can talk to that gallery owner to get in touch with the artist herself. We, brothers and sisters, then another person told me, they said, I'm praying for you, Erica, that God will make your ministry international. I said, too late. It's already international. It was international the day he had all those different cultures join up with it. You too late. It's already international. This is my point. Some of you don't even appreciate, because you can't. You can't, because you're too much into self. And until you can get out of self, you got the door shut in your own face for God to expand your territory and enlarge your tent. It's not going to come until God decides. What you saying, Erica? You talking about your success? See, over here at the tent line, we don't want but one person to be famous. And that's what this artist said to me. I want God to be exalted. I made those crosses for God. I made those crosses and made them. Lovingly boxed them up, wrapped up each and every cross, and mailed it to me. They're here right now, laying right here. I put them on the altar. I put them on the altar because I want to pray over them. Now, this is somebody just like the person God sent to edit my books. They're a published author. They turned down a job this year. I know they turned it down because we talked about it and prayed about it. They turned down with from their who they write for to do 6 books. And I mean make a lot of money to do my books. I'm so blessed. I am blessed. She turned it down to edit my book. Do you understand how blessed you? Do you understand you connected with a blessing? And these people I'm talking to you about, their whole life is to God. Their whole life's commitment is to God. They laid themselves down because they experienced real deliverance, brothers and sisters. Real deliverance transform your life. Real deliverance will make you put God first. You got to come out of self, and it has to be an act of your will. It has to be. There is some beautiful creative work in you, but it has to come out through God, and it has to come out through you laying your life down before God. You can't do it on your own. I'm sorry. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk back about Jose. Jose's income was well into the 6 figures. And one day God asked him how much he loved him. After he really got to know him and know that he was real. And God asked him, would he give up everything for him? And he said, yeah. And it was a fight with the devil. Was a fight. And it's still a fight. I'm not asking you to give up nothing, but I'm asking you to give God what he deserves. Your soul, your heart, your mind, your will, your emotion, your intellect. Which equals your love. I know some people that are single that want to be married. I know some that are single that don't want to be married. But some of you that are even married, God is teaching you now how to be a better spouse if you let him. Because see, brothers and sisters, if you learn how to do submission, you'll be a better spouse yourself. Because you won't be looking for somebody else to fulfill your needs. Because God will fulfill that hole that's in your heart. God will fix your heart. And God will teach you how to love. He has to. He is love. He'll teach you about real love and how to really love. And therefore, that's what will be attracted to you. I'm looking at all this. This is a time right here. One, you ought to be grateful. You ought to be grateful to God if you don't have no coronavirus. And you ought to be grateful to God because you know that if they predict 200,000 people going to die, maybe you was one of them. But glory be to God. He took you off the list. They're in anticipation of 200,000 people dying. I'm in anticipation of well over 200,000 becoming born again and living. Living. The world is looking to the dying, and believers should be looking to the dying in Christ to live again. Woo! I'm not fixing this church up because I think I'm going to die. I'm fixing this church up because I know I'm going to live, and I know people are going to come alive again right here. I ain't doing nothing in anticipation of no death. Because you know what? We're going to die. If we die in Christ, we're going to live eternally. You will never die. During this, I was just on the verge, Jessica, of telling the 10 line to buy some new shoes. To buy a pair of new shoes. Wherever you are, if you can, buy you a pair of new shoes. And I want you to pray over those shoes and prepare to put them on your feet the day this thing is lifted. Because there's something about walking in the newness of life. Buy a pair of new shoes. I think the last time I said, the last thing I said buy was a pen. That was years ago. But I'm telling you, You need to buy you a new pair of shoes. Now, see, I'm saying this now, and some of you, God had already told you. I'm seeing on this chat room, they're on the way. I just did. They're on the way. Somebody else, I just dreamed last night I was buying new shoes. Buy yourself a pair of new shoes. Amen. Looking to buy shoes yesterday. I want you to buy yourself a pair of new shoes. Can you do that? Whatever kind, the Lord, you know, whatever kind. But I want you to buy some you're going to wear. Pull them out, Jennifer R. Pull them out. I'm going to get, yeah, we'll get us some today. We'll buy them off of the internet somewhere. Buy yourself a pair of new shoes. And if you love somebody, tell them to buy themselves a pair of new shoes. I'm going to tell you what to do with the shoes after you get them, after we all get them. The Bible says, I wonder if I just cut this on and forgot about it. I probably did. I want you to buy you a new pair of shoes. Whatever kind you're going to walk and wear the most. Can you do that? Oh, something came up on here. So that's why, even if it's I want you to make a sacrifice and buy these shoes. Don't be trying to talk about you're gonna wait for the stimulus money. That's what came up on that other computer over there. I want you to buy yourself a pair of new shoes. Blog Talk Radio. I got something for you. We're coming out of this thing with newness of life. We're coming out of this thing renewed. We're coming out of this thing in a new place in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're going to strive and we're going to do that. We're going to strive and do this and thrive. We're going to thrive in everything. We're going to be built up spirit, soul, and body because we're going to overcome these airway spirits. We're going to overcome this act of the devil. And then God said, let me find this scripture here. I got it. Okay. I just got that out of the computer, so I can look for the scripture. But there you go. Thank you, Jessica. Woo. Deuteronomy 11:24. I need about 8 people to put this in the chat room. Deuteronomy 11:24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Joshua 1:3. I want you to buy you a new pair of shoes. You and your girls, Mary. Tell Micah. Genesis 3:15. That's your warfare scripture. Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. Thou shalt bruise his heel with your new shoes. No, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to buy these new shoes and I want you to put them on. As a matter of fact, let's do a foot washing before you put these new shoes on. Let's do a foot washing. We've done those before, right here. We're going to have a foot washing service. You're going to anoint your feet. And you're going to put on them new shoes. So how long do you think it's going to take you to get them shoes? Wait a minute. Somebody said they had a... See, that's why you got to tell us. Had a dream Sunday of a python that was killed. His head was bruised. Amen. I need you to buy a new pair of shoes. Can you? Where can you have them by? I'm going to ask you again tomorrow. I need you to hurry up and get them shoes. And I need you to get a new bottle of anointing of virgin olive oil. Let's anoint this oil on your feet. Let's do a foot washing. Let's anoint your feet. Let's anoint your shoes and step out. Step out. God doesn't want us to delay it. Genesis 3:15. And thou shalt bruise his heel. So we're going after, it looked like we're going to be going after Python spirits and voodoo and divination and necromancy. That's what Python is under. That's how Python rolls. But guess what? We're going to crush his head. Praise God. So, I'm probably going to catch a little flack from this, but nevertheless, we're going to do it anyway. It ain't no more flack than I've been catching. Believe me, it ain't no more. So you're going to buy you a new pair of shoes. That remind me of that song, the late Reverend Clay Evans. Jesus will work it out. Say, baby got a new pair of shoes. Even got a light bill due. I want you to get these shoes right away because you don't know what day the Lord going to have us do this. I know you got to get them through the mail, but or however, because you can't go out. So many locked in. But you need to get a new pair of shoes. The church, triumphant, is alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. The church triumphant is alive and well. You are the church. I am the church. And your home is your house church. Yay! Turn your house into your tabernacle. Obviously, God wants it. If you don't live in Texas, you can't go, you're not called to obey God, but let's turn your house into a house church. And let's allow your anointing and your spirit to take authority. The church is triumphant, and it always will be. And every now and then, you need to listen to one of these anthems. The church is triumphant. Can you say that? The church is triumphant. I am the church of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The church is triumphant, brothers and sisters.
Don't worry about it. Inside, it's safe and dry. And my friend, it will carry its cargo to the port in the sky.
God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking that because he had driven the Church of Jesus Christ out of sight, that he had stilled its voices, snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it is forced to flow underground. No, the purest water is a stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has forced its way through solid rock. There have been charlatans who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on the open market that power which cannot be bought or sold. But God has always had a people, men who could not be bought, and women who are beyond purchase. Yes, God has always had a people. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has been nearly diluted into oblivion by those who sought to make it socially attractive, neatly organized, and financially profitable. It's been gold-plated, draped in purple, and encrusted with jewels. It's been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned. These followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to women at times, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet through it all, there marches on this powerful army that meets God's chosen people who cannot be bought, slaughtered, murdered, or killed. On through the ages they march. This church, God's church triumphs.
Be the church
alive and well. Rejoice.
For we battle the question. We may our joy. And we answer free now. From the victory square. For the church triumphant is alive.
Listen, child of God, it's alive.
Cause we're stirring up these people where